Listen, Ross gave me the liberty to call from the heart this evening, so I'm going to do that. Hey, pastor het gesê, hey, mag maar. Amen. So guys, as you can see, I'm going to call it. There's my notes. Hallelujah. So I'll put that over there. Amen. So I would like to speak about a friend of mine, actually, if I may, just for a short while before I even get into the sermon. Yes, he's quite a close friend of mine, and I thought if you can put some descriptions up there of this guy, he's absolutely amazing. Look at that. Eh? He is life. He is love. He's a true friend. He's slow to anger. He's gentle. He's joy. He's peace. He's kind. He's patient. He's a healer. He's a teacher. He's pretty impressive, eh? He's the ultimate mentor. He's eternity. His majesty is glorious. He is authority. He is endurance. He is strength. He is steadfast. He is faithful. He is my deliverer and yours, by the way. He is a mighty warrior. He's the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. He is alive forevermore. So I don't know what thoughts have been going through your head about, is Jesus alive and all this? Well, hey, he's alive forevermore. He is forgiveness. Praise the Lord for that. He is salvation. He doesn't just provide it. He is it in his very essence. He is that. Okay, he is the Lord. How about that, eh? He is God's son. He is the king. His magnificent name is, if everybody can shout it out, come on. Jesus! Yes, praise the Lord. So that's my friend, in putting it simply. Hallelujah. So I really want to be bold right now even and say, if you don't have a friend like that, then it means you don't know Jesus. And I'm just going to step out there on a limb and say, if you want to know Jesus, tonight's your night. Okay, so we're going to leave that for later, because I believe you're not going to go anywhere before that unless the rapture happens or something. But hallelujah. That'll be nice as well. But anyway, I think there's still work to be done. So later on, we're going to pray for you, with you. And we're just going to go there and stand in front of Jesus and say, hey, my brother, my sister here, Lord, you know what? He wants to know you. And I'm telling you, he's waiting there, open arms. Amen. So I see we're already ticking on for time here. It's 5 to 7. So I better get to the crux of the matter. I'd like to go to John 3 verse 16. Now, this scripture I've used so many times. But it pretty much encompasses the gospel. Hallelujah. John 3, verse 16 to 17. 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, so it's not a select crowd or whatever, like in the past there in the Old Testament, whoever, man, whoever you are, you can come to Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, 17, what struck me about 17 is, here's a case where the world says, yeah, but you know, this Jesus, you know, he comes to condemn. That's what he does. For some reason, there's that lie. That always comes, you know. Whenever I speak to somebody about, yeah, but you know, he's got these expectations. I'll never measure up. Look what 17 says. So this is not just my idea, you know, the Bible. Hey, I'm not arguing with that. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. The Bible says he didn't do it to condemn us. So the fact that there's an idea that he did come to do that means it's not of him. And that you need to kick out and kick it out quickly. Amen. But that the world through him might be saved. Now, there's two spins on that might word. It's possible that you could be saved. So it comes down to you. Or it is a guarantee. So if you make a decision, you will be saved. Hallelujah. You are safe for eternity. You've got your ticket in. But it goes much further than that. Much, much. There's so much more to it than that. It's great. You know, you got the ticket to the concert, and then you rock up there. You actually want to get into the whole thing. You know, that's why we're always paying so much to get the front row. What's that zone called? Golden Circle. Hallelujah. With Jesus, man, it's you and him. Somehow you don't see everyone else. It's my time. Anyway, praise the Lord. So if we can move on. I want to get into this. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Now, the initial stages, and guys, this is the Lord's challenging me to get back to basics. And maybe for you guys, this is really elementary. But imagine a house with a weak foundation. What's going to happen? And then you still build a double story on that foundation. Ay, praise Yaro. What's going to happen? I gaan in mekaar insak. Nee, it's gone. The cracks start forming, and eventually, it's just going to crumble. Okay, so That's the foundation right there. Jesus Christ is everything we need before we even get started in this life. Because what happens is now you part to yourself sticking, and that's pretty much what I did for most of my youth days. And yes, I made so many mistakes, and I had to come to the Lord and really repent of the things. And obviously the guilt's there, and the guilt eats you up, and I've got to work through that. And, you know, I had no understanding of grace until the Lord had to come and show me what grace is. It's something you can't work for. Now that is a bit of a brain block for me. How can you not? How can you just get it? You've got to work for everything, right? And then the Lord came to speak to me about this. And then, so this elementary Jesus Christ factor, and I want to drill it in because, you know, you've got to know that God is for you. Because what's coming later on in the sermon might seem a bit condemning, but hey, what I realized is, Clint, this is your nature, whether you like it or not, the flesh. And that's what I want to talk about, the flesh. You know, the flesh, how it can so easily get you down. But our brother Paul, he made it quite clear that he is separate to the flesh. It's just a tent, and he's living inside of it. What does that mean? That he is a spiritual entity. And because Jesus and God is spirit, that makes him spirit, because he was predestined before the foundations of the earth was laid. He was. We were a thought in his mind. So we are spiritual beings. Therefore, the Bible says our spirit cries out to God's spirit. And therefore we can call him Father. Without the spirit, you cannot do that. It might be lip service. It's going to mean zero. So I want to move on. So that's the basics. It's not basics at all for me because I'm still learning so much about it. But that scripture right there, Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Hallelujah. Even to the end of the age. Amen. How can Jesus say, what gets me there, how can Jesus say, I'm with you always, and he's about to take off on a cloud? How does that work? Do you know what I mean? So that really starts confusing me. And I'm saying, Lord, so, you know, what must the guys have felt, you know? He's, you know, you telling them, yo, I'm going to be with you always. Meanwhile, you're about to get out of here, you know? And then if we can have the next slide there, it's Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how he can be with us always to the end of the age. That's how. And what I realized was, that's how we're always singing and saying, yo, but God is everywhere, you know? And until, with the worship team, what we started doing was we really started focusing on the words of the songs. What are you singing about? If you're singing two songs all night and it actually means something, praise the Lord. Because revelation has come. Lip service means nothing. And not even, let's bring it back down to earth even. I mean, between us. Imagine you and your, if you've got a wife, or let's keep it at friends. I mean, you say to your friend, no, I'm there for you, man. And then a situation comes and you're not. And it says, okay, maybe you were busy, and it happens again. And it happens again. What happens? Lip service, right? You're not going to trust this oak. It's just not there. It's a load of hot air, as we say. So, here's a case where Jesus says, this is how I'm going to be with you always. My spirit will be with you. And then I want to go on to the promise now, which is quite cool. So if you guys read up there, and I'm gonna go in here. It's easier for me just to read from here. Are you guys still with me, eh? Amen. 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 Okay, Acts. Is it Acts 1, verse 4 to 8? Okay. The Holy Spirit promised. Holy Spirit promised. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. That word wait, I suppose that comes easy for all of us. Eh? Amen. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So there's a promise. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. How often do we get stuck on, oh, is it the end of the world? Is it this? Oh, look at the signs. That's everything. You know what? Jesus says, get saved, spread the gospel. People need to get into a relationship with me. Right there it says, it's not for you to know. You can't change it. So stop worrying about that, because you know what? That's inevitable. That's going to happen. But what about your brother that don't know me? What about your sister that don't know me, that has no relationship with me? What about them? You're so caught up in when, I said earlier, when the rapture is going to happen. It's going to happen whether we like it or not. You know? So that we know. We all know that. That's guaranteed. But is it guaranteed that our brother is going to meet Jesus? Is it guaranteed that he's going to spend eternity with his creator or her creator? Is that a guarantee? See, so the Lord's been challenging me on all these things, you know, because we're looking at the signs and wonders and what's the one with the moon's going to be red as blood and all this stuff. You know what? It's the moon. I'm kind of more important than the moon. And so is my friend, you know, because the moon's not going to spend eternity with Jesus. My friend is. Amen? Come on, guys. Are you with me? Amen. I feel like I'm maybe, anyway. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's none of our business, in other words. He's given us work to do. Spread the gospel, man. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Guys, that's the promise right there. The Holy Spirit is promised. It's promised. Now, when Jesus makes a promise, I mean, we just saw that list of stuff there, and that's nowhere near him, man. That's just a couple of things I shot from the heart there. You know, that list doesn't come near Jesus. That's what the English language can come up with. Now, what about the spiritual language that we speak in? We sometimes pray in tongues and stuff, and we sing in tongues. We don't even have an idea of what we sing. You just feel deep in your spirit that this is worship, man. This is glorifying Christ. But the English language, it can't bake on me. Do you understand? It can't describe what the spirit, what's happening in the spirit. And that's the place I'm hoping we're going to get to tonight, where we tap out of this carnal, fleshly thinking of Jesus, because he's spirit, and we literally step over that line and say, okay, Jesus, here we go. We were at Rotanga Junction not too long ago, and I am freaked out with that cobra, but I did it anyway, and I was even more freaked out when we were done, you know, because it's big and it's fast and it spins you upside down. It's unnatural, but anyway. But yeah, so here's the thing, the promise, but in that promise is also a challenge. Here's the challenge. I promise that you will receive the Holy Spirit. But again, when God made Adam and Eve back there in Genesis, you know, in the lovely garden, he said, you've also got choice. That's what I'm going to give you. You got a choice. And now sometimes I think God should have made me a robot, because I'm always choosing the wrong stuff. For some reason, I'm always going with the stuff that's going to end up hurting me. So that's where grace kicks in again. And God goes, ay, Clint, kom toch. Back on the road. So I'm a slow learner. I'll admit to that. But I'm learning fast as well. You know, I'm slowing down the process, because God has given me a bit of wisdom and counsel. Praise the Lord for counsel. Otherwise, I would have been in some situations. Sure. But anyway, that's what God saved me from, because I was a loose cannon back in the day. But I see, Yara, I'm blessed to know the Lord. Are you blessed to know the Lord? Amen. Amen. So if we can go to there where the promise is fulfilled, my sister there at the back. There we go. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. Here's the promise fulfilled. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all with one accord. I love that. with one accord in one place. One accord meaning unity. Unity. Something we as people struggle with. Unity. They were all with one accord in one place. Hallelujah. Church. We heard a sermon on church last week. I think it was last week with Ross. Church. One place. One gathering to give His name glory. That's what church is about. That's where us as believers do our thing. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Suddenly meaning quickly. Suddenly out of the blue. You know, like, wake up guys, something's happening here. As of a rushing mighty wind. Not just a rushing wind, a mighty wind. And it filled the part I somehow missed in the past in reading this. It filled, for some reason I thought it filled the room that they were sitting in. But it says here, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Hallelujah. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here's the thing. They had decisions to make. They were promised something. They decided, okay, let's do this. Let's stick around and see if this happens. They could have decided otherwise. And that's what I thought about. What if they weren't there in one accord, in one house, in that unity? Would it have happened? How many promises don't God give us? How many promises haven't you been given over the years now? Stuff you've recorded, stuff you've written down. It's in your Bible. It's highlighted. It's circled. It's duplicated. It's photocopied. It's blocked up on your wall. And it's just not happening. Andy Stanley said something earlier today. I was listening to a DVD of his this morning. And, you know, I don't know if you guys got it. He's still got the whole world in his hands. And, he says, you know, where the Israelites and stuff, there was, well, the generations, they prayed for 400 years, you know, to see the promise fulfilled. 400 years. And then he goes further and says, we pray for 4 days, nothing happens, and we say, is there a God? That says something about us, guys. That says something about this generation. Earlier on, one of the scriptures says, basically Acts 1 there, it says, wait for the Holy Spirit. And God, in His goodness towards us, doesn't just impart immediately whatever the promise may be. Because with a promise, with a revelation or something, look at Joseph. Look at what happened to that guy, man. He became the decision maker of the strongest empire in the world. But when he was shown the promise, to Hockey Brewery, he'll wait. You know? Why? It's too much. It's just what God has planned for us is too much for us to fathom. Therefore, if I promise you something, I'm going to start a road with you. I'm going to walk a road with you. I'm going to prep you for it. Because I'm God, and I struggle to kind of give small promises. So when I give you a promise, it's going to rock your world. That's what it's going to do. It's going to blow your mind, man. So what I've got to do is not to destroy you, because I love you too much. Even though it's a blessing, I've got to take it slow. I've got to take it slow with you. Because I know you, man. I made you. Because if I give you all of this, you're just going to decide, well, I've got everything. Who needs God? Can I get an amen? That's what we do. And we need to get real about this. And the only reason why I'm sharing this is because God is challenging me, man. He's challenging me, saying, Clint, the pattern in your life is when I bless you, you tend to fade. And then I've got to take it away again, tighten the screws so that you can come back to my throne. Listen to what I've got to say, because what I've given you is to further the kingdom, not to fill your pockets, not to buy you a nice new car again. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. Look, guys, come on. You can have... I watched a movie last night, you know, where the guy lecturer says to the... It's about sending kids to the army and stuff. And he says to him, so you want to go for the big bucks, you know? So what happens... So the lecturer is quite into the whole army scene. So he says, so what happens if the U.S. turns into a third world country and then your $90,000 Mercedes-Benz can't drive up the streets because of the potholes? So where's your big salary? What's it going to do for you then? And it just struck me. How is the tangible going to get me into the kingdom? How is the tangible going to draw me closer to Christ? T.D. Jakes, he's got a great way of saying, he says, the natural is a manifestation of the spiritual. What happens in the spirit, you will see the fruit in the natural. So what's the fruit in your life right now? And that's a question God asked me. So I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. No condemnation. Guys, please, we are brothers and sisters. If we don't help each other, we're doing each other an injustice. That's what we're doing. So what's the fruit looking like at the moment? Don't get funach, you know. What are those things that you know God is saying, man, I want to come and take it away because it's hurting you, even though you don't think so. And if you let me, you will experience my goodness. I promise you, you will go forward in life. Because what it's doing is it's stagnating you. I'm not saying, ek sê nie, jy gaan agteruit nie, but you come to a standstill. And what we know about God is He's moving. That's a guarantee. He's moving. He's got an agenda. He's got a plan. I've got no plan. My only plan is to tap into His plan. I'm done with my own plans. Ek is moeg vir dit. I've tried it so many times. You don't want to know where it's gotten me. Those of you who know me, I thank God for you guys that stuck around. Because I made some serious mistakes. I think 100 times now before I make decisions, because the bong. I pray so much. But I'd rather do that than to make these rash, quick decisions. You know? Better safe than sorry. Because my nature is just to jump in and get burnt. And then God's grace. Hallelujah. So, if we can go to the next slide, I think in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the flesh, us, will be transformed. That there is another guarantee, that is a promise. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, it is a spirit, firstly, so it is powerful, that we better get, okay? And then it is the one and only Holy One. Because ek sê vir julle, daar's geeste, but I give them no attention. Because God has shown me too much about how powerful He is. And as far as I'm concerned, a long start was uitgetrap. Amen. I really think nothing of Dangas. You know, I don't even like saying his name. He's such a nothing. You know. I'm sick and tired of the stuff he's stolen from me. I guess moeg vir dit. I'm tired of it. I've seen the fruit of going His way. I'm sick and tired of it. The Lord has said, I've promised me so many things, and I think, why is it not coming to pass, Lord? And I pray, and I fast, and da-da-da. And you know what? It comes back down to, hey, just think about this. Were you obedient back there when I said, yo, come this way? And it shucks. No, I wasn't. And then all the fasting and all the praying, and it comes down to make a decision, a godly one. And the promises will be fulfilled. If we look at those Israelites there in the desert, why didn't things happen for them? Somafanach. Disobedience. It was deliberate decisions against God's will that stalled the process. God wanted to take them through their quick sticks, man. You know, God's heart is to get you through. You know, His heart is to bless you. The promised land is there. All that stuff. You know, it's there. And I know you guys are probably thinking tangible. I'm not thinking tangible at all. The things of this world, oh man, what's that compared to our God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the flesh, we will be transformed. That is a guarantee. The question that came to me is, do I want to be transformed? Who's heard of baptism of fire? Who's heard of that? Who can testify that it's great? You know, it's wonderful. You know, it's a beautiful process. It really is a beautiful process where you see, literally, when you go from here to here and you look back and you think, whoa, that sure wasn't me, but something got a hold of me. That's for sure. So in this, we need to make a decision. Okay, there's the promises. I've got the promises. How do I get it? How do I get it? God has actually taken the time to share what he has for me. He could have kept us in the dark. But he says, I've got so much for you. You can never imagine. You can't imagine. Your brain is too small to fathom what I have for you. That's this God we serve. And then he takes us on a road. But we've got to decide, guys. Do we want to walk that road? And the reality of it is, it's going to be a tough one. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be a tough one. You see, when one says, oh, come to Jesus, life's going to be great. I must pray for that brother that said that. Because with Jesus, life is going to be great. But it's not the typical carnal thinking that we engage in. It's a spiritual process that starts taking place. Here's an example of of where the flesh, we, don't want to transform. So I got this job the end of last year, right? So it's a friend of mine. And I don't know if any of you have, your friend has suddenly become your boss. Hallelujah, we've got witnesses, amen. You know? Suddenly, the friend, don't tune me, I'll tune you back, you know, becomes your boss. And what he says goes, whether you now like it or not. So there's an example now where I was faced with a bit of a challenge. And I can speak about it because me and him speak about it. How cool is that? Ek sê vir hom sommer, yes, it's a bit moeilik for me. I say, jy moet submit, ek is die baas. Yes. And I feel like sommer, you know. But that's the flesh reacting, isn't it? Now I'm talking, I'll rather use myself as example, you know, I don't feel whatever, you know. So Clint goes, man, this is not really going to work. You know, after about a month, I'm there, I'm thinking, oh, flip, I'm going to resign somehow, man. And I'm thinking of the consequences, and I'm thinking, nuts, he'll probably never speak to me again, you know. And there goes a whole relationship that was built over 6 years, bit by bit, you know. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get through this? And the Lord says to me, Buddha, it's time to submit. It's time to submit to the authority. It just happened to be your friend this time. And then what comes to me is, that's a lot easier to submit to his worldly rules and regulations about how things need to go down. And if we look at the Ten Commandments, yesterday, that's not so easy to submit to. For that very reason there, the flesh. So the flesh is something that wants to hold us back. So I said to God, okay, here we go. I will submit to this brother. I will see him as my authority in this workplace. And then obviously, one thinks it's just going to flick around. And then he starts like dishing out orders and stuff, you know. I'm like, now what's up with this now? You know. And to the point where I said to him the one day, jy moet lekker wees, broer. Yes, and I fell into the pit again. He's your boss, Clint. He's your boss. You know? Jy kan nie so met hom praat, are you going to speak to any... If you go work for another company, are you going to speak to your boss like that? Say, no. Well, he's your boss. But the flesh inside you, Clint, my nature, you know, was this of, man, jy is on my pal. Wanneer vir my kom sê nie. All these voices start rattling off. And the Holy Spirit convicts me. You have no ability to submit to authority. And that little part of your life, this is exactly why I put you where you are. This is why I've predestined this time for you to work here. Because in no other place would you have suffered under the fire like you are now. Because you would have just made a peace with, ach, it's my boss, it's my boss, yeah. He's a nar, whatever. Yeah. You know? And so we move on in life. So we move on from one job to the next. You know? But suddenly it's like confrontational, you know? It's like, whenever I come see anyone, and then the Lord says, you've got to sort this out. And I said, Lord, I can't. And God says, okay, now we're moving, now we're talking. Are you ready now? So here comes the baptism of fire. Because I'm going to come and burn it away. Ek gaan dit wegbrand. Because it's so part of you. I need to light a fire to get rid of it. You know? And then it happened. And it was painful. For a couple of days only. Praise the Lord, it was quick. But I said to the Lord, I will surrender. I will surrender completely in this situation. I want to get over this as quick as possible. I don't want to hana about this because my time here, I want it to be glorious. I want it to be fulfilling. I want it to be joyful. I want it to be a blessing. Guys, I can honestly say I'm standing in the place now where I just want to bless this guy. And I want to esteem him. Because I'm thinking of David and Jonathan, you know. You need to esteem. They were friends. And I think I have the opportunity to bless my buddy. Suddenly, what was almost a curse to me, oh, my life's coming to an end. Now it turns into an opportunity for me to bless in the very thing that I fell short in. That is the God we serve. And what comes to me is that the accuser, when you come to Christ, says there is no way. He's not going to be pleased with you. You are messed up. And you go, yeah, I know. But what about his blood? Let me remind you about that. And he goes, no, please don't. Why? I say again, when hy was uitgetrap. Hy was maar uitgetrap. It wasn't a pretty scene. Because God don't like people coming up against him. It's not his thing. You rub him up the wrong way. Amen? So, God comes to teach me this thing of authority through a baptism of fire, and then it turns into giving. The thing I had lack of now becomes abundance. Amen. So the challenge is in this fulfillment here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Guys, there was fruit. They made a decision. We want this. So I decided, Jesus, I want your spirit in this situation. Yes, I want your spirit in my whole life. Imagine Jesus Christ says, okay, baptism of fire all around. It's tickets. For me at least. That I know. I don't think I can stand being uitgeskrop like that all at once. But Jesus is saying, my spirit is ready and willing to act. Question is, Clint, are you? Are you? Because the decision lies with you. My heart is to take you forward, to see you whole, to see you to be the creation that I had in mind before I even put this earth together. That's how I see you. I seem to get rid of this other stuff. So this evening, they were ready to receive the Spirit. And it says they were filled with the Spirit. They were literally filled. And it says that a mighty rushing wind. Somehow, I was actually saying to Tillman the other day, you know, something struck me. Lord, come and fill me with your spirit, we pray. And that's great and everything. Do we have any idea what the magnitude of the Holy Spirit is? It said a rushing wind came to fill the house. I'm sure a couple of things were flying around. You know? Can you just imagine? It never filled the room. The room was too small. So it filled the house. And it's my dear Allah work. And Genesis speaks of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters when the earth was still void. That same Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now Jesus says, hey man, I want to put the Spirit inside of you. Can you contain it? I'm telling you now, if we had to operate fully in the Holy Spirit, I think we'll be flying around here or something. You know? So Jesus is saying, come on. I promised you my Spirit so that you can do beyond what our natural abilities can do. And it says here at the end of that, it says here, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, not them in themselves. Because you see, that thing of me dies suddenly. Spirit takes over. Okay? As the Spirit gave them utterance. And the crowd's response, we know the rest of the story basically, where the guys were saying, oh, how can it be? And bada, 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 all this. Oh, they must be drunk. And then there's the case where they're saying, listen, repent, man. That's what this is about. That becomes their mission in life, to spread the good news. And once filled with the Spirit, you can't help it. You can't help it. Truly, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't contain it. Keep in mind the magnitude of the Holy Spirit. When you do something, you're going to go big. If it's by the Spirit. Jy gaan groot. As jy iemand groot, if you greet someone, that ook's gonna, you won't know what hit him. The love that he experienced through you greeting him. It can be 2 seconds. When you are in the presence, if we go back to that other slide there, of the Holy Spirit, transformation will happen. People cannot deny the presence of a living God. There's not a chance. There's not a chance. And I'm personally challenged in the small things. The milk stages. I'm drinking my milk. You know? Peter says, forget the meat. Jylle wil vleis eet. Kom drink bietjie melk. You know? That's, I can't help it, but I have to speak. I have to speak like I understand things. And he says to me, drink milk so that you can strengthen, and I will take you on to meat. He will take me. Not Clint promoting himself. Praise the Here. That is the recipe for disaster right there. So, guys, I just feel like the Lord is saying, ek voel net die Here sê stop hierso. So I'm going to stop you now. And I just want to challenge you with this thing that what is the Lord? And it's not rocket science. If we are honest and we come stand before God and say, Lord, come and remove this thing. I'm sure you can name them. You can name them. They're there in the foreground. When somebody cake your skiff, what is that reaction? That thing that comes up here in your heart. That's what I'm talking about. Ek gaan vir hom sommer nou lekker insee. Where is that coming from? That is not a godly response. That's just a typical example. And the stuff gets much bigger. But I thank God that sin is sin. Sin is sin. You know? To me, one sin is not bigger than the next. You know, if repentance is required, then it's required. Repent and kry klaar and move on. Because Jesus wants to do something with your life, man. He want to take you and run with you. Because His heart is to grow you, to mold you, to get you to the place that He initially designed you. And why I can say that He designed us is because Yesu Machunda Oaks there that before Abram was I am, then they freaked out. Man, we saw you grow up here. You're not even 50. What's going on with you? Are you a lunatic? And He says, trust me. Before Abram was, I am. And that's the Jesus we serve. He is mighty. He is mighty. And He says, I'll be with you to the end of this age. This, meaning this age, there's another one coming. I want to be with Him in that one as well. This is really just a starter, man. This is a starter for what's coming. So I made a decision. I'm going to step into the place and expose myself to the Holy Spirit to come and do His work in my heart. And if I can just, if we can quickly go to the Philippians 5. Philippians 1 verse 21 at least. Where Paul says, For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now in this context where he speaks of this, he's talking about, man, I'm going to die. But hallelujah. But what the Lord said to me about through the scripture is like, to live is Christ. So in what I'm doing now, I can glorify Him. Everything I do can praise Him, can worship Him, can honor Him. And then it goes further and says, and to die is gain. What must die? The flesh. That self. That self-promotion. It needs to go. Because it's all about Him, not about me. So this is what I realized here. Jesus is saying to me, Clint, it's time. You've caught this revelation that whatever you put your hand to needs to glorify me. But now, it's time to die. Because if you want to step in and represent me, you got to go. You got to go. What did John say? John said, I must decrease. I must decrease. Ek moet wegraak. So that He can increase. I must fade. He must come to the fore. That is my sole purpose. And I had another scripture, Galatians 5, but I think we're gonna skip that one because it really describes the flesh. It ain't good. It ain't good. But if we can go to the one that speaks of the promise of the Spirit. Let's go back. Let's go to the one that's the flesh thing. Okay, fruit of the flesh. I'm going to read it quickly and then we're going to take it down. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the flesh, guys. That, I can't help it, it's the Bible, you know. So that's the fruit of the flesh. But Jesus is saying, I'm giving your spirit, you're my spirit, and now here's the fruit of that. But the fruit of the spirit is love. Do we even know what real love is? Have we tasted real love other than Christ, or the little bit we've tasted from Him? Joy. I'm not talking about momentary happiness because something cool happened. I'm talking everlasting joy. You wake up in the morning and you're just so excited in your spirit, man. You just want to bless everyone. There's that joy. There's that fountain that's overflowing. Like Jesus said to the woman at the well, you know, there's peace. Hallelujah. You don't stress about anything anymore because He's got me. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control was a big problem in my life. Against such there is no law. the title of the sermon. Against such, that there, the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. No matter what anyone says, does, or tries to do to you, or whatever. Against that there is no law. Nobody can stop you from loving, having joy, having peace, being long-suffering, being kind, being good, being faithful in relationships, being gentle, having self-control. Nobody can stop you. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Because I know with myself, I proclaim to be in the Spirit. But if I look at my lifestyle, guys, I'm just being dead honest here now. Man, there's a lot that's not Spirit. And the Lord's saying, Clint, it's time to step up, man. If you're proclaiming it, if you're saying you do it, then you better start doing it. But that's just how me and my Lord communicate. Because I'm like that. And that's where the answer sometimes is like, oh, you need to be careful how you, you know, say things and stuff. You know. Me and my Lord, we understand each other. Amen. So the Lord, in your way that you communicate with Him, really, He will come and speak to you. And He'll challenge you on those things in your life that needs to change. And guys, change is great. Change is good. Even though we don't like it, it's to benefit us. Just let go and let God. Because that not wanting to let go is the flesh saying, uh-uh, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's out of my box. Hey, I want to challenge you. Let the sides drop on that box. Let the Holy Spirit in. Let the Holy Spirit in. Because it's going to benefit you. It's for your own good. Even though you don't think so now, check in a couple of months' time and you look back on that thing. Oh, but I'm not flaring up anymore. Praise the Lord. I'm not swearing anymore. Hallelujah. You know? I'm not stealing anymore. It was a problem. You know? This uncontrollable rudeness in my life. I actually like to speak a blessing over people's lives. Because all of those things has a stem. It's got a root. It's rooted in something. And it ain't Christ. So let the Holy Spirit come and pluck it out. Be bold. Step out and let Him pluck it out. It's okay. So there's two things this evening. If you don't know Jesus, or if you're not sure, and you don't have a friend like the list we put up earlier, we want to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. The rest of the guys would love to pray with you. And then the other thing is, if those things that the Lord has come to show you, come and get rid of it tonight. You might not get rid of it, but at least step up to the plate and say, you know what, Lord, ek gaan my man staan, come and do your work. Because I know you love me and you won't hurt me. And you will rid me of this thing. I know you will, because you are faithful, you are gentle, you are kind, you are love, you are patience, you are self-control. Imagine you never had self-control every time we sin in an arcade. He's slow to anger. Slow to anger. And He is peace, man. He is peace. There's so many times in Scripture when He steps into, there when after He resurrected and He steps into the midst of the disciples, and first thing He says is, whoa, peace be unto you. Because they were freaking out. Peace be unto you. Okay, now that we set that platform, everything's chilled, let's chat. So before He's going to come and deal with you, it's peace. Peace be unto you. So I'm going to leave it there. Guys, that last song we sang with the offering as well, if we can maybe sing that. And then guys, really, we're going to worship the Lord a bit now. Really, we're just going to do the one song. I want to invite you forward. We're going to pray for you. Be bold to share with the person what's going on inside your heart. The Lord has highlighted something to you. Speak it. Speak it. Bring it out. The enemy right now is going to tell you, hey, you've got to cover this thing. Jesus is saying, come out with it. Because I want to deal with it. I want to rid you of it. I want to set you free. That chains need to go. And the only reason why I want to do it is because I love you too much to see you struggling along like this. That was not my idea. So what you are accepting is not of me. Come see what I have for you. That's just what I feel the Lord is saying. Amen.